You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Your life may be filled with many mistakes and failures, but for you, God's heart is filled with love and compassion and forgiveness.
Bringing Christ to the Nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty and everlasting God, by thy Spirit, remind us that we are dust, and that to dust we shall return. Hold always before our sin-dimmed eyes, O Lord, the powerful picture of thy love, the blood-stained, cruel cross of Calvary, and the empty tomb of the victorious resurrection. Cleanse our hearts, O Lord, and give us a spirit of hope. Permit us to live each hour in the glorious peace of thy total forgiveness. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray, amen. In Chicago for the past 6 years, nearly 10,000 individuals have defiantly thumbed their noses at the city's legal system. Individuals guilty of theft, robbery, burglary, aggravated assault, and even voluntary manslaughter have simply disregarded or dropped out of the probationary work release program. The Chicago Tribune announced in a bold front-page story that 15 defendants who were to begin serving their terms at the first week of this year simply ignored the judge's order to appear at the appointed time. These frightening facts fill the concerned mind with anger. Those convicted should serve their time and pay for their offense. Most people consider open rebellion to the law of the land inexcusable, but now, as uncomfortable as it sounds, consider also this. God is equally angry with other people, even many who claim to be religious. When you and I, for example, profess to be God-fearing and upstanding citizens, and at the same time refuse to give up our sinful desires and habits, then we are also spiritual convicts. Like the Chicago defendants gone AWOL, we are equally guilty as we arrogantly and defiantly thumb our noses at God's Ten Commandments. What God expects, you see, of you and me is no secret. God communicates to us in the Bible with candid clarity. He says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy." Like a measuring stick held up to a crumbling wall, God's purity, His holiness, and His perfection exposes our life of daily sin, repeated failures, and frequent ruin. You and I may not think so, but God has made one thing clear. Compared to the perfection that He demands, your situation and mine is terribly desperate. And only the realization by faith of God's boundless love and grace can give us any hope at all, even for the members of the early church. It was the same knowledge of God's forgiveness and the mercy in Christ Jesus which enabled these previously troubled apostles to live with a cleansed conscience and with a hope-filled heart. This gave them a reason to live. This certain knowledge provided hope and joy in times of trial, in the hours of persecution, and in those days of dire distress. Oh, pray today with a repentant and believing heart that the Apostle Peter's words might be yours. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Compared to chilling stories of convicts roaming free from overcrowded prisons, your life may appear as not all that bad. Compared to some of your neighbors, your life may even appear as quite good. And yet in your moments of deep reflection, in your times of deepest probing and honest evaluation, oh, you realize in your heart that your life is far from what God expects. Lovelessness toward your parents, failure to seek God in prayer every day, a greater desire to watch television than to study the Bible, laziness, not wanting to help even those in your own home, and the list could be endless. Comparing ourselves, you see, to our neighbor makes us feel pretty good. But comparing ourselves and our lives to the sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ, this fills our heart with shame and forces our guilty conscience into terrible despair. Oh, the devil wants you and me to give up. He wants us to say that it's all impossible, that life is so difficult and impossible to live. And yet, even if you sink into the pits of despair, cling to the Bible promise. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. For you today, a new start is possible in Jesus Christ. And with that gracious opportunity, through the life-giving resurrection of Jesus, God is offering you the power to live a life pleasing to Him. You see, it is not necessary for life to be dreary. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life in all of its abundance." On this side of heaven, of course, you will always be making some mistakes. And with even your best intentions, the devil will, from time to time, succeed in tripping you up. Yet in Christ, you shall certainly experience a final victory. Listen to this. A local disc jockey was discussing the love of his mother. On his 47th birthday, this man returned to visit his parents in a faraway state. That evening, he went out with some of his friends, and they stayed out until the wee early morning hours. When this man came home, his loving mother, always faithful, was waiting up for her 47-year-old son. Our gracious Heavenly Father's love is the same. In fact, it's even a million times stronger. God is always patiently waiting for us to turn from our daily rebellion and our sinful habits and return to Him. This divine love, this perfect patience, is vividly described by the prophet Isaiah. 800 years before Jesus was born, God's people were in arrogant rebellion. Their national security was being threatened. They began to make military alliances with other nations, and instead of trusting in God, they placed their faith in the might of mortal men. Oh, God tried to bring His people back. In love, God permitted great adversity to come upon His rebelling people. God permitted endless anxiety to rage in their hearts. In mercy, God was hoping that these terrible trials would cause His people to give up their self-centeredness and repent. And now, did you know that God is still doing this today? God permits problems to come into our lives. Uncertain finances, broken business dreams, ruptured romantic relationships, poor health, frustrations where we work, and all of these things can be used by God to draw us back to His love and to His mercy. Perhaps you've experienced some of this in your own life. A wayward child, a health problem which just continues and continues for years and from which you receive no relief. Maybe God has permitted loneliness to visit you in hopes that you will find in Him your ever-loving friend and your constant companion. In studying the desperate situation of God's people during the time of Isaiah the prophet, one biblical scholar put it this way. This is what he said. Men do not seek God until they have tried all of their own devices and failed. Then, he said, in desperation, the prodigal son, forlorn and weary, thinks of the father's home. And oh, may I beg of you today, give your life an honest evaluation. Leave no stone unturned. What percentage, may I ask, of your wealth and your time and concern is given to people in your neighborhood and your area hospitals? Are you living only to satisfy and serve yourself? Or are you striving to please God by helping others? It is so easy and so convenient to mouth religious expressions, but God, you see, the Bible says, judges the heart. Receive the mercy and the forgiveness of God today and let His cleansing and healing Spirit change you. And then rejoice also every day in God's love and grace as He speaks to you through the prophet Isaiah. Listen, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore the Lord waits on high to have compassion on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed, the Bible says, oh, how blessed are those who long for Him. Your past mistakes may be many. You may feel totally unworthy of a gracious God. And yet the Bible tells us that it is only when we feel totally unworthy that God's mercy can cleanse and restore and heal us. Even in your moments of doubt and in your times of despair, rejoice in God's love. Sing with the hymn writer who wrote, "Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, and yet in love He sought me, and on His shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me." Find a Bible. Turn to the book of Isaiah. Read the prophet's dire warnings to the people that he loved. They were given over to the sins of sexual indulgence, like many today. Sex dominated everything. Entertainment, advertising, clothing, styles, music, and even daily discussion. Many were caught up in this, but not everyone. There were those who maintained their religion, of course, and yet even they were trapped in their own sinful self-righteousness. They went to church, they sang the songs, they gave their offerings, and yet all of this was of no avail because they trusted in themselves, and this angered God. Now, what would you say? What did these people deserve? In our hearts, we realize that they and we deserve God's wrath and righteous judgment. Wrongs have to be righted, don't they? The guilty should always be punished for their sins, shouldn't they? Precisely because of this, however, the prophet's words of God's love and grace stun our reason and logic-oriented mind. Knowing how the people of Isaiah's time were defying God and realizing how far your life and mine is from what God expects, I can appreciate how difficult it must be to hear these Bible words of the prophet Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, the Lord waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord, the Bible says, is a God of justice. Oh, how blessed are those who long for Him. And so if you are now involved in sins of sexuality, stop it. If you find yourself passing time each day with your friends, drinking coffee, by gossiping about every other person, then put an end to this immediately. And don't sit around anymore feeling sorry for yourself. Don't let the devil control and steer your troubled and confused mind. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. Busy yourself by serving other members of your family, and busy yourself by assisting your neighbor and by visiting the sick and the elderly. In so doing, the Bible teaches that you will be serving and glorifying your gracious and loving God. This always brings a life with meaning. In your spare time and in your extra hours, begin to read and study the Bible. Get to know the loving and gracious God who has been waiting so long for you to return to Him. Get to know your loving Savior who waits on high to have compassion on you. Live with the biblical promise, how blessed are those who long for Him. Let us pray, shall we? O God of love and God of grace, truly we deserve nothing but your wrath and judgment. We give unto you all glory and praise. In your perfect grace, you made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become righteous in Him. On Jesus, Heavenly Father, you laid the iniquities of us all, our sins, and in the bloody crucifixion, wounds of your Son, we are healed. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. For this, O Heavenly Father, we give you all thanks and praise. In Jesus' precious and intercessory name we pray. Amen.